Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your hosts, Jeff Byboth and Jason Killaby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. We're live. Hard Water Fishing Show. Here I have my beer.
Yeah. So what are you having tonight, Jeff?
So tonight I am having from the Castle Danger Brewery from the North Shore an American Pale Ale. So here we go. We're going to crack this open.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, some foam came out.
And myself, I'm sticking with a classic again. I'm going with the old style. I had a case of it, so I'm just slowly working through it because it's kind of like a steak. You can only have one steak a night. So here we will open this up. Ah, there we go. Beautiful. Oh yeah, that's good.
We're going to talk current events now that we've got our beer open.
Yeah. How's the weather in Minnesota?
So it's been up and down. We got ice early in six, and then it got warm. I mean, I was outside putting Christmas lights up today, and, you know, it was, I don't know, 50 degrees or something. Not exactly ice-making weather. How is it in Iowa?
We had some skim ice going down here, and that's all gone. And it was... Well, I was pheasant hunting all weekend in a t-shirt, so if that tells
yeah.
anything.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I'm seeing reports of people on Red Lake. I'm seeing reports of people on Mille Lacs somewhere. You know, I also see a lot of Facebook posts of, I saw one with a four-wheeler upside down today, you know, floating from its tires. So, you know, it was on Red Lake, but they...
What kind of idiot would drive a four-wheeler on the ice?
So they are. They're up on Red Lake. They're my understanding is they are, but they said that there was some big signs that said don't go this way, and somebody chose to go that way. So
takes a special kind of lazy to do that, I think, in this kind of weather. It's just, I don't know, you know, that I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't.
It's every
get
year,
it.
Though. You know, I mean,
but I don't have a four.
You
gotta
have
either, so maybe that's
the 10 o'clock news report of the, you know, the guy going through or throwing his pickup truck through. I saw a wheelhouse kind of floating out there in one picture. So it's certainly
this year already. Somebody had wheelhouse out.
Yep.
Interesting.
So, that's kind of current events. I mean, it seems like it's time to go ice fishing. I haven't had time to go ice fishing. We had Thanksgiving. We had, you know, family. I did get my ice auger back though from my repair guy who was also my wife's cousin. But
pretty
good. It starts now. He just had to put some fuel in the cylinder and dumped out the old gas, and away she went. She's ready to go. So,
what kind of bill did you look at on that, or did you get the super special
family
discount?
Yes, super special family discount. Like, I'm pretty sure I have to throw a six-pack his way. That kind of discount. So, yeah.
Nice.
So it's good to know those people.
Yeah, when mine breaks, it's actually going to be yours until it gets fixed. Then I want it back.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. All right. So what are we talking about this week, Jay?
Well, you know, actually, the fact of thin ice or new ice leads right into our topic, which I think is the variety of portable type ice shacks that are out there. And so I'm kind of looking forward to talking about this because there are, once again, so many new options and exciting options on the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, not one ice shack is right for everybody, right? I mean, you know, there's pros and cons, I mean, of anyone you pick.
Yeah, I would agree. It varies for a person, the size of group you fish with, and what your needs are. And you know, fish ice shacks are a lot like a lot of other sporting goods equipment, is you may need more than one. And wives have a particular difficulty understanding this, but it's like you just say, hey, honey, you don't just have one pan to cook with. You have multiple pans. And so it's the same kind of deal.
Right. It's not like you may. I think you can remove that word may. You just need more than one ice shack. It's just a requirement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's start with, why don't you, and you've had more experience with this than I have. Why don't you start with the hub style?
Sure, yeah.
Because early ice, that's probably the best.
Yeah, part. I mean, for me it is. I mean, I've had a bunch of ice shacks. I've had sled style. I've had the kind of old clam. When I say clam, I mean the suitcase style. I've had a bunch of them. But right now, my primary shack is a clam command post, which it's probably 4 or 5 years old now, but it's the hub style. So, you know, I really like it. It works good for me. I do not have a pickup truck, so or a machine to haul around a big sled. And, you know, those flip-over shacks can be really great, you know, especially once you get the bigger ones. But, you know, they get kind of tough to pull by hand out in the ice.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last thing you want to be doing is dragging 200 pounds of gear behind you with a foot of snow. And
unless maybe you're one of them CrossFit guys or gals, they do that. They probably just do it for fun because that's how they roll. But we don't roll that way because we're kind of rolling.
I'll just say I am not in CrossFit. I mean, we'll just go that far. I'm not looking for an exercise when I'm ice fishing.
Exactly. You know, and with early ice, those ice anchors, you can just kind of stab them right through the ice, can't you, right now?
Exactly. Although it's a little bit of a tangent, but I did see Dave Gens on Facebook. He's starting to ride a fat bike out there, which I've always thought would be really cool, but it's a little far from the hub shack thing. But you know, how to get out there.
I don't know, man. If you show up on a fat bike, it might be the end. And we've been through a lot over the years. We've known each other, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. Let's move right. on. I'm uncomfortable.
Well, you know, I mean, we're going to get back to the hub. So like I said, I have a command post right now. It's pretty good. I mean, it's not insulated, which is probably the biggest problem I have with it. Well, maybe I got a couple problems, but one of the problems that it is, it's not insulated. So it's pretty big. It's like 72 square feet. So I believe it's like, you know, I don't know, whatever. It's kind of long and skinny, but it's about 72 square feet of fishing space. And it's not one of those ones that's like fat now. You know, they came out with the fat ones a couple years ago. Kind of on a fat subject here, but you know, they have the wide bottom so that they kind of give you a little more fishing space. It's not one of those. It's just kind of one of the first gen ones. So it's just really hard to heat. I have a Big Buddy heater, but sometimes we have a couple of those Sunburst style heaters going. But, you know, it's a lot of space to heat. And when it gets below zero, it's just cold. I mean, it's tough to get warm. So kind of the other drawback is we mentioned ice anchors. You've been through the ice anchor thing with me, right, Jay?
Oh, I've been through it myself when I had a hub style briefly, and it was a bad deal. I went out anyway. Yes, the ice anchors can be problematic in a couple of situations. They can be problematic on good, hard, solid, never, you know, tough ice, and they can be hard on when you have you know, a bunch of hard packed snow kind of on top of the ice or slush. You know, because they're only like 8 inches long or less, and then you're trying to get them into that ice, and so there's all sorts of interesting things on the market to try to staple your hub shack to the ground.
I might be sounding like I'm not selling these things, right? Like, they're hard to heat, partially because it's big. They're hard to tack down to the ice, but really, I think those are solvable problems, and then also. You know, there's a lot of benefits to them too. They're not huge. I mean, I can fold my 72-foot square ice house into a small bag and put it in my car and take my kids fishing. You know, I don't have a Suburban. We have a Traverse, which is a bigger car, but you know, I mean, one of those sled style shacks. It's going to take up the whole back seat. I can bring one person with me.
Well, and there's been some improvements on the ice anchor thing with the newer models, Jeff. I had a Clam 2000 XL or something, and that one actually had tie downs inside the shack. So you could pop it out and then tie it down inside, which a couple of advantages on that. Then your anchors didn't freeze in because they were being kept warm inside. You know, so like if you had slush outside, you dig them out and you put them in. So that there are has been some improvements in that. Have you ever seen those ice anchors? Have you seen the Ice Angel?
I have. Ones? I have.
Two.
Never used it.
Yeah. I've seen them in use, and those look very interesting. And they work really well, too. They basically, it's a like a cantilever. I don't know if that's the right terminology, but it basically, you've got, you know, a center post with two wings on it, and it collapses when you push down, and when you pull up, then it extends out and clamps into the hole. Like, so you would drill some holes with your auger, and you use that to clamp them down. And so it looks like a pretty quick way to anchor your stuff.
Yeah, no, that looked cool. And I know I tried, do you remember a couple of years ago, I had those, they were kind of like fat anchors. They were like hollow in the middle. It was like a T handle and they had a hollow in the middle. Did you see those ones I had?
Yep.
Yeah, well, you might not have saw them very long because they didn't work very well. I had those. They looked cool, but they didn't work very well, so we got rid of those.
So what worked really well for me is I actually bought two, like, 12-inch lag bolts, skinny lag bolts that would fit through those holes with a washer on them. And then I used so you can take a lag bolt and a washer. This is kind of some redneck engineering here for you folks. You take a long lag bolt, like a 12-inch, longest lag bolt you can get, but small enough, so like a 3/8 or whatever, to go through that, the grommet, right? You take a fender washer, run it up to the top of the head, take a spring, get a spring, about a 3-inch spring, 4-inch spring, put that on there, then another fender washer. And then you take your drill with your impact, and you can run that right into the ice. The washers then hold down the corners so that it provides some tension on there, and you don't have to go all the way to the ice with the head. That worked good.
Yeah, that I like that idea. I think it sounds complex, though.
it sounds more complex than it is.
Yeah.
But there are things to lose, so that can be complex. Because I never got far enough with it to engineer the captivity part of the equipment.
Yeah.
But there's some ways to fix that.
Yeah. The other thing, so last year, so I went back to the standard ice anchors, right? The kind of, I don't know, whatever ones that come with it. The Clam ones. I know there's some even nicer, heavier duty ones, but I bought that Eskimo thing that goes on your drill, right? It like attaches the end of your drill, and then it kind of hooks onto the. So that worked pretty good, right? You put that in your drill and you drive them in there, and it was pretty awesome. You know, no more like not getting them started and that kind of stuff. So that worked pretty good until we tried to pull them out. So, you know, your drill is nice and toasty warm when you first get there and you set your ice shack up. And so, you know, those suckers just blow right in, right? They're just into the ice. And then, you know, you fish for a few hours, gets cold. That friction that they created when they went into the ice kind of melts a little bit. So then you go to leave and pull them back out and you put your drill in reverse. Now, remember, I buy Harbor Freight drills, but you put your drill in reverse and it kind of just doesn't do a whole bunch because that sucker is in there solid. So I think part of the problem was the friction from when it went in. Part of the problem was the battery got cold. I actually ended up bending some of them. It wasn't even like they didn't have the power to do it. It's just that the things had gotten so tight in there that you couldn't get them out. It wasn't that the drill didn't have the power, but
Yeah, because the handle's bent.
Right, the handle's bent. I mean, it just... So...
Maybe you need to use them when it's warmer out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, most ice fishing gear should be designed for when it's warm outside, because it really doesn't get cold when it's the infamous jig up situation, right?
Yep. But we better. So moving back to the hubs, I like them, and I like them best when somebody else has put them up.
Mm. Right, but you know,
that's when I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan when it's already been put up. Because they're really nice. They're spacious. You can stand up. You can walk around. You can play cards in them with a bunch of buddies. If you want a bigger one, the kids can run laps. Have you seen these knotheads on, God bless them, on the Trick Your Trap sites and all that?
I love that site.
That are putting floors in these things so they can sleep overnight and all this. You know, some people take a portable option and make it completely non-portable, but good for them. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
And I think if I was going to buy one today, like if I was going to go spend my money, would you get an insulated? I think I would. I would definitely
absolutely
get an insulated.
There's no, you can heat them. You can heat them. You're going lightweight because you don't have to bring as much propane. You don't have to bring as much heater.
Yeah. And for consideration, I got a couple of things that I'll mention, Jeff, and you can add to this. Like if I was going to look at one, some things to think about. Think about where the doors are and what that means for where people can sit and fit. And think about if you're a tall person, what it's like to go through that door. Like when they're set up in the store, pay attention to the zipper and how tight or not tight it is. Because we've run into that. Right, you set them up, and then yep, the zipper's stretched so tight, you're gonna bust it. And so you just, oh hey, this is my buddy's, no big deal. So you just zip it. But if it's your own, you'd be like, crap, this thing's gonna break. So pay attention to the doors, insulated, and pay attention to how the zippers work. That's kind of my biggies on those. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with the sturdy. I mean, you know, pay attention to the zippers. Just know they're going to break. I mean, any ice fishing equipment, if it's 30 below and you're folding anything up, it's going to break. I mean, not that they're not durable, but, you know, I mean, things are going to break. I think the bag is important. I actually bought and returned one last year. It was insulated, but it was like I'll call it an end loader versus a side loader, right? So you fold it up and you had to shove it in the tube. Right? Like it goes in the end, like a tent, where like clams and some of the other ones, I mean, I think it's Eskimos that are mostly the end load ones, but clams have like a zipper that goes down the middle so you can put it in it and zip it up. It's a big deal when it's cold and you want to get going and you can't get your stupid thing in your bag. So the bag's a big deal along with the anchors.
And I think it's important. Can I add one? I think it's important to not set it up in advance of the first time using it and do it out on the ice.
And then be a man.
Also try to put it back in the bag for the first time after it's dark on the ice with small children in tow. I do that.
One thing I will not recommend is to leave it out on the ice overnight, because then you will chisel the apron out of the ice and that is not fun.
And that's okay as long as it's your buddy's shack.
Yeah,
I would always encourage him to leave it out. But then it is a lot of work to chisel it out.
Yeah, that was
a bad deal. Don't actually, you shouldn't do that.
So I think we can, you know, sum it up here. My sum up is hubs are good. I have a car. It works great for cars. You can have lots of people. Get thermal. Get good zippers. And you'll have fun. Any parting thoughts on the hub shack, Jay?
One more thing. They're kind of like tents. If they say 2 to 3, it's really 1. If they say 4 to 6, it's really 2.5, maybe 3. If you think about comfortable fishing capacity, always cut it in half, and you'll thank me later. Because you need a cooler for beer, water, Gatorade, bait. I mean, if you think about by the time you put all that stuff out, and then you're wandering around in heavy clothing, you just really can't. You know, go one size bigger than what you think you need. That'd be my other advice.
Totally true. But go get one. You need one of those for sure. So now that you got your first shack, Jay, what's your next shack? You got your hub shack for party fishing and non-mobile stuff. What do you go to next?
Well, I think it's a flip over. And I have a clam, a smaller clam, actually the smallest two-man clam they make. I have the clam Nanook, I think is what it is. It's a stupid name, but sounds that's cool. What it is. I think it sounds stupid, but that's me, but it,
Jason,
it
not works. Working for the marketing department at Clam.
Yeah. I'm not probably going to get sponsored by Clam, even though I use a lot of their stuff, but, I switched from the hub style to the flip over because I realized my children didn't really want to go ice fishing with me very often. So I thought, well, hell, I don't need this big hub style. And I really have liked the flip over for the pure fact of everything's in there. I can put everything in the tub, and most of them you can. You can shove the two man and up. You can put your auger in there, your bait, your flasher, your poles, and you put a cover on the thing and you shove it in the back of a pickup or on a trailer or on a hitch hauler if it's a smaller one, because you've done that. You've put your, when you first had a flip over, a small flip over, you put it on a hitch hauler.
Yeah, that worked great. That always worked for me.
Yeah, I have as we mentioned, I have a Suburban, and I went with this particular clam because it will fit in the Suburban with the third row down, or, you know, folded up, and I can still have the bench in. The second seats in. I don't have to get rid of them, and it goes right in there. So that's why I like it, because I don't have a machine or nothing, and it's light enough. I can load it. It's like 50 pounds, 60 pounds unloaded or base weight. Some of them things, you got to watch the weights on these. They're base weight. Some of them go 100 pounds. Like the Jason Mitchell ones and the big Eskimos, right?
Yep, and they got electric lights and, you know, I don't know, porta potties, and, you know, then you go and trick your trap and build yourself a wood frame, and soon enough your gross vehicle weight is beyond what you can do to get it to the launch.
Oh, well, even Ollie's, right? When he's got that thing loaded, it takes two guys, and You really gotta, you know, be careful when you lift so you don't pull something or lift it on a trailer. So, yeah, I mean, you can. The one downside of them hub style or the flip overs is you can bring too much stuff, and you can get too much weight on them. But if you're pulling them with a machine, they're not bad. If you're pulling them by hand, a lot of guys use the Smitty sleds.
Yeah.
They'll put them up on skis to reduce the contact, because otherwise you're going to kill yourself. Unless they're, again, CrossFit, I would mention. Shout out to CrossFit guys and gals.
Actually, I go to Farrell's. I go to Farrell's.
What's that?
I said I go to Farrell's, not CrossFit, but, you know, same deal.
Yeah. So, you know, but they're nice. You flip them over yourself, you pop them up. The one new development I saw, have started to see in these that I really, really like and may get me out of the one I've got now, is the side doors. I like that.
I think that's an awesome idea. And you know what I saw today? There's a new one out there. It's a back door.
My clam does have a back door.
No, but this is the main entrance, is in the back. Like, oh, you walk.
So how do you get over the chairs and hop all over your stuff?
There was no chairs. It was just a sled, low profile sled, but you went in through the back. So you didn't have to walk over your holes. It was a new one. It was a new one I'd not heard of before. I'm going to have to look it up, but it was supposed to be different.
Yeah. So like the proximity to the doors. So on mine, because it's smaller, by the time you put the heater in there, you're trying to, especially if it's pretty cold out, you know, you've got the heater going and you try to open the door, and bad things can happen. Like, I know this isn't story time, but I'll tell it because it fits into the bad things can happen with heaters. Is we were at Lake of the Woods last year. My wife had on a down coat, and it got too close to the heater when she was trying to get out, and it melted two of the panels and all the feathers blew out of it. So when we opened the door, it looked like we had killed a duck in there. It was feathers everywhere. It was a disaster. So anyway, but the side doors I think is good. insulated.
Insulated.
I am going to put in the Reflect-X in my ceiling this year. I have done enough reading on that. I think that's the way to go on your non-insulated shacks. You can spend like $20 and you can take Reflect-X, which is a foil metal aluminum lightweight product. They sell it at Menards. Google it. It's all over the internet. And put it up in the ceiling. And they say it'll keep your shack, you know, 10 to 20 degrees warmer with your current heater setup. So
I looked at that stuff. I went to Menards last year and looked at that stuff because I was going to put it in my command post, thinking maybe I could, instead of getting the thermal. It's actually not as cheap as you would think. I wouldn't call it expensive. It's cheaper than a new shack, but it's, I mean, you can easily spend $60-$70 on that stuff.
I found it a lot cheaper than that.
Yeah, but if you start looking at how much you're in a nook, you're probably okay, right? Because your nook is pretty small square footage wise. But if you look at like a hub style one, where if you want to put it in the ceiling, it's a lot more square feet. And then the other problem is it's also, I wasn't sure about the foldability for a hub style. So
yeah, the hub style guys, they're taking it out of there and reinstalling it, which I wouldn't do that. That's a hassle.
Yeah.
So for the flip overs, they're installing it above the poles.
Yep.
And some that are putting it like on the back, all reports are that it just folds down just fine.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about it on the flip overs, but yeah, on the hub style, I don't know about that.
Yeah. The hub style, I even bought the stuff and returned it because I spent like almost $100 on it. And I decided that I should just go buy a thermal hub.
I would concur that you should. I would support that.
Well, of course, because you can use it.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So the big thing on the flipovers, moving back to that, is chairs. I think to find a chair that's comfortable, because there's a big variation in the comfortability of the chair. Some of them, like the Eskimos, a lot of them just have a bench, I've seen. And some of them have a mesh seat now, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, that seems better. It's like a deer stand, but a nice shack.
And I think, too, you want to sit in it, and you want to think about, like, how comfortable you are on that height from the ice. Because the height of the chair is different from shack to shack. So you kind of want to try some of them out. So here's what I would recommend. I would say, you know, and the best time to do this would probably be, you know, an hour before dark, because people aren't usually busy when they're fishing an hour before dark. You would want to go.
The fish don't bite then.
Yeah. So you would want to go from just go out on a lake, right? And just knock on shacks and say, can I sit in your chair? I'm want to interview your shack. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, if you bring a beer, they might be nice to you, but
I would bring a beer, because if you don't, it might not go well. Yeah.
Wow. That would be interesting.
The nook thing, I've got the chairs slide back and forth and side to side. So that's kind of nice, that adjustability. Some of them you can put three people in. These flip overs. Some have four person. These things are massive. You've seen these clam ones.
Yeah, I kind of want one for our trips. Like, that'd be awesome if we got all fish together in a flip over. But
I would support that. You should buy that.
But the problem is you will need your Suburban to tow it. I mean, they weigh like hundreds of pounds. I mean, they're ridiculous.
They're massive. Yeah, they're pretty heavy. But that would be fun. If you had the gear, right? If you had the four-wheeler, the snowmobile, the trailer, four guys and, you know, that really needed a workout, or gals.
CrossFit guys.
CrossFit guys or gals, again. I don't know why I'm fixated on CrossFit tonight. But
you can do some squats with your shack, like 400 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that.
On your fat bike.
So, yeah. On your fat bike.
I'm telling you, the fat bike is worth it. You got to try it sometime.
Look at the the different brands, you really want to find one that you like the poles on. So they all have kind of different gadgetry on the pull mechanisms to how they pop out. Some have a button, some have a little lever, some are a twist lock, and those all have varying degrees of durability and or user friendliness. So
yep, it's true. I mean, the old style ones had a little metallic button that would never work with your gloves on, and you fought with them, and yeah. I think they've all gotten better, but you know, they're still not easy. You still fight with the poles.
Durability of the tub. Yeah, I think there again, you know, you should buy to what you use it for. So some of them are a little thinner tub, and if you're hand pulling it, probably not a big deal. If you're blasting across
Lake of the Woods,
Lake of the Woods,
30 miles an hour,
Mille Lacs or Red Lake or any of those big lakes, you know, and you'd like to drive a little aggressively, I would go with really, you're going to get what you pay for, I think, on all these. Every one of them, you're going to get what you pay for in Ice Shacks, definitely. I'm a cheap guy. I like to not spend money because I don't have it. But you will get
what you pay for. It's called maximizing our fun, Jason. Maximizing our fun.
Yeah, maximizing. You will get what you pay for in Ice Shacks. I don't think there's any way to cheapen up that. There's no like generic brand that's as good as the top brand. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. The only caveat I would put to that is you can buy the most expensive Ice Shack. If you drag it around Lake of the Woods at 30 miles an hour behind a snowmobile for 2 years, it will last 2 years. I mean, it, you know, they're going to get beat up. I mean, we've seen 2-3 years, whatever, but they're not going to last 10 years. You're not going to pull a sled like that, no matter which one you get.
But you need to do the Hyphax.
Definitely Hyphax. Yep.
Definitely. If you're pulling it. And even if you're not, sometimes you get, if you're not using machine, I still think you need to do the Hyphax because you can get you get to the parking lot where you're fishing and there's no snow that day, right? And so you got to pull it out of your truck across the concrete, and you're just grinding the plastic off the bottom of it. So, and you want to put the Hyphax kit on, and you're gonna need a heat gun to do it effectively.
Do you think? So just remember, do you think the Smitty sled, if you pull it, if you're just a puller, don't have a sled, the Smitty sled would kind of take the place of the Hyphax. You're not really hitting the ground. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen some really ingenious Smitty sled things, you know, so some guys put little tiny wheels and just above, below the sled, the skis, and they mount those. So when they go across the, like the trail or the parking lot where there's no snow, they can just roll it. Yeah. I would do definitely, if I didn't have a sled, machine, or I have a teenage kid that pulls mine, so I don't need that. He can do it.
Does he go to CrossFit?
It's, yeah. So what else? What else do we want to think about? What's your top three if you're going to pick a flip over shack, what's your top three things you want to think about for you?
So I think three people is false. You fish two guys with one of these things. And so I want something like
two guys and a kid.
Sure. Maybe two guys and a kid, maybe. But generally, when I think of my top three, I'm going to look for something small, right? I don't want the cabin lodge gigantor 400 pound thing, whether I have a snowmobile or not. I want something lightweight. I believe sometimes bringing too much stuff can slow you down. So I want something small. I want it insulated so I can bring lighter heaters, even though the insulation costs more weight. I can not have to bring my 20 pounder out. I can bring a, you know, 5 pound, 1 pound, couple 1 pounder butter heater thing. And then, you know, beyond that, I guess just a comfortable seat, but you know, I don't want to be dragging out. I've seen people bolt on boat seats and stuff again, then you're adding so much weight that just seems counterintuitive. So that's probably my three. Not too big, insulated, you know, not fancy. I don't know. Not into all the wiring and lighting and floors and hundreds of pounds of gear. So So that's kind of my ideal from a sled style.
Yeah, so for me on the hub, on the flip over, what I'm looking for is I want to know that I can put it up quick. You know, that if I, because that's the whole idea about portability, is that I can drag it, flip it over, throw the heat on, and I'm fishing in 5 minutes after I drill a hole, of course. But, you know, I don't want to futz with lots of extra poles and things and get, you know, all this stuff. So, you know, don't be afraid to just pull that thing out in the store. You know, they all set them up for displays. Take the dang thing down. Put it back up. Futz with it. You know, you're spending good money. Don't worry about what people think. Who cares? And, you know, there again, I would run around at the lake at night and try everybody's out.
well, I wouldn't run. I'd ride my fat bike.
If a guy in a fat bike shows up, kick his tires for me. But I would also, you know, I agree with Jeff, which is hard, but I do agree with him.
It happens once or twice.
Really, yeah, fishing three normal-sized, healthy American individuals out of a flip-over is, I just think you're asking, you can do it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do that you don't want to, or you're like, this sucks. So I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't count on it. You know, occasionally, if you have just, you know, one extra person, you could probably get by, but I would never count on a regular fishing situation of three people in one of those. The other thing is, really think about the weight. Oh, I came up with, I just thought of one.
You can only get three, Jay.
You're going to want.
You can't have four.
But I don't know if, this isn't one of the top three. This is just a bit of unsolicited advice. Is that you're going to want to measure whatever you're pulling this, transporting this thing in. I can't count how many people I've talked to that have bought a shack on the assumption it's going to fit in the back of their pickup. And pickups these days don't have like actual size beds.
Four and a half foot.
And then what you're going to have is you're like, oh, I'll just load it in the back of my pickup. And then it's going to stick out 4 inches. So you can't close your tailgate. And so now you got all these, now you got all this stuff going on. So then you end up buying a trailer and a closed trailer, and which is all good. I mean, it's okay to buy more stuff if you have money, but you're going to be maybe disappointed. So really, really measure to make sure it's going to fit both the length and the width in between the fender, you know, the wheel wells. And also if you've got like a tonneau cover, I've seen some, the bigger ones that are too tall, they can't close the tonneau cover on them, on the beds and the different trucks. So really measure the height and the length on that and the width so that it fits. Because if you drop $700 on one of these and you can't put it in your truck right, you're going to be sad.
Yeah, if you get a hub, you don't have to measure.
Well, kind of, because some of them hubs are really long.
Yeah, they are.
So if you're in a car and you don't have seats that fold down, some of them suckers are 5 foot long in the bag.
Yeah, you're right.
So you're going to want to make sure, you're still going to want to make sure it fits whatever, and just don't assume, because you know what they say about that.
Exactly. They make you ride a fat bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been known to go fishing in my Ford Fusion and put down the seats, throw in the shack and go. So yeah, that's one nice thing. All right, well, my beer is getting kind of low here, so I feel like it might be time for a story, Jason. So I think today...
Boy, do I have a story about... So this was a number of years ago, and my good friend Jeff, I would say he wasn't as smart back then, but I don't know that we've had a ton of improvement in certain areas. I think in some ways he has, but... So we were fishing on Stone Lake, and we hadn't been catching a lot of big perch, but we caught this perch, and it was pretty decent size, but it was a female, right? So it was all full of eggs. And so some of them really look bigger than they really are. And we go to Jeff and we're like, hey, did you know that perch give you this incredible, even though it's this small, and it was like a 9-inch perch,
I think it might have been a little bigger than 9 inches.
I think it was about 9 inches. Maybe 8.
I thought fish stories were supposed to get bigger when we tell the stories.
Not this one. And so we're like, Jeff, you would be amazed about the amount of meat you're going to get out of this perch. And so he's like, oh, really? Yeah. Okay, great, great. I don't know. Did you flay that or did we flay that and then showed you the fillet?
I'm pretty sure I probably cleaned it because, you know, I mean, I feel like I clean most of the fish.
You do, which is good. And so you flayed it. And of course, it was all eggs and you get like a fish stick out of it. And so it was pretty funny. We all laughed pretty good at your expense that day.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And just that day or maybe every year since that happened.
We've talked about it every year since that. Every time somebody catches a perch, if we catch a perch, that story comes up.
It is.
Hey, do you remember that time when Jeff thought, you know, and it's kind of like when we drill a hole in the ice. Hey, do you remember that time Jeff put his boot down the hole? And then, of course, if there's a northern cod, it's, hey, Jason, don't gag at the slime. So, I mean, there's kind of some recycled things that happen there.
Well, when you've been fishing together for, what, 20 years? So, you know, stories come up. So, well, cool. Well,
we've been fishing so long, Facebook wasn't even invented yet.
Facebook? Was Zuckerberg even born?
I think he might have been in kindergarten.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, we've gotten better, I think, at ice fishing over those years. So,
hey, what are we going to talk about next time? We should think about that. Do we want to tell our listeners what we're going to talk about next time, or just let it be a surprise for that person that listens?
Well, you know, I could lie and say I had a plan, or I could say we'll determine that next time. Because I don't know. Do you have an idea of what we want to talk about next time? We've talked about shacks and electronics and augers. I mean, I can drill a hole. I can find
the fish.
I think
we should talk specifically about tip-ups.
Ooh, I love tip-ups. We have lots of stories about tip-ups.
I think we should talk about tip-ups. So let's make that our topic next time.
That sounds awesome. I'm super excited to talk about ones you can buy, ones you can make, ones exotic ones.
Customization.
Oh, yes, yes. All right, cool. I'm excited about that now. I'm excited for next week. So,
wonderful.
Jay, it looks like my beer is getting pretty low here. Mine's about gone. How about yours?
Yeah, I'm out.
Yep. Well, that means the show will be over until next week because I guess I'm only allowed one beer a week. All right.
Helps with the digestion.
That's right. Exactly. All right.
That's what I always tell my kids when I have a beer with supper. Helps with my digestion.
Or my sanity, one of the two.
There you have it.
All right. Till next week.
All right. Have a good night.